and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my very good friend and R&B sensation, Ivana Santilli. She's come back. She's knocked on our door. We've let her in for another week on the Regal Beagle podcast. Ivana, how are you doing this week?
I'm well.
You're doing good. Last week, we talked about Boy Meets Dummy. This week, it's Season 6, Episode 10, Dates of Wrath. It aired December 8, 1981, directed by Dave Powers, written by Ellen Gylas. Janet's crush asks Terry out instead, and the two of them argue over him. Okay, that wasn't written very well, but Janet's
confusing.
Janet's crush. Janet wants this guy to ask her out, but he ends up asking Terry out, and Terry and Janet end up fighting. Ivana, what did you think of Dates of Wrath?
I really like this one. I like this episode. I will have to say that a lot has changed in my life since I first saw this one.
Okay.
Because I've actually been in both Terry's shoes and Janet's shoes.
Right, right.
In this type of situation. So
now did it go very similar to the episode in real life in either side?
I will tell you, I wish I had Terry's outfit because I love her outfit on this set. The nice deeper purple, really nice. And Larry's outfit is awesome too.
Larry, I didn't take note of that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's just new shapes, but the colors are this light pink shirt, this deep plum tie, this black velvet jacket, and gray slacks. Do that with a new silhouette and you're rocking.
You know, I had someone else on here earlier and we talked about Larry, and she did acknowledge that Richard Klein today, who played Larry, mm-hmm. is officially a silver fox.
Oh.
Would you say that? Or maybe you should do a Google search, on Richard Klein today.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're making note of something that totally went over my head, and now I have to, I have to go back to the episode and see his outfit.
Oh, honestly, no. There's so many good outfits on Three's Company. I'll be honest with you, and especially the guest stars. Their sweater dresses, well, as a woman, I mean, their sweater dresses are killer.
Right.
With the slits down the side, and oh yeah, the whole look that Suzanne Summers have, Chrissy. On season 2 or 3, I think. How many seasons did she do? Did she do 3 seasons?
She did 4.
She did 4. Okay, which is...
4.5. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so she really did. Whereas Farrah Fawcett did 1 season of Charlie's Angels, and everyone thinks that she's the whole show.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. So the look, there's this whole... I don't know if you follow this kind of stuff, but there's the whole season now for fall, winter, 2019 and 2020, Celine, Chloe, all of them are doing exactly what Suzanne Summers is doing in season, I'm going to say 3 or maybe 3, with the long A-line skirts and the slouchy boots and the, you'll see. I'll send you some pictures.
Okay. I'm not up on that. I have to admit, yeah. I don't know, okay. But,
no worries, but
I'm going to take your word for it.
A lot of the fashion on Three's Company is now high fashion.
Whoa.
At this very moment, I will say.
Right. Well, I guess people who are, fashion oriented or on the edge should buy up those DVDs and start researching.
Everything comes back, right?
How about Furley's outfits though? How about Furley? Is that coming back?
Furley. I love Furley. Wait, was Furley, I think that I missed Furley on this one. Was he in this episode?
I don't think so. He was on the last one and we didn't mention him, but I don't believe he was on this one.
So this would be my answer. Furley's style was never so much in style that it's just his style. And my grandfather used to dress like him too.
Right.
It was just his own thing. McFurley was just, I love him.
Yeah, he was. So when it comes to, like, every time I tell anyone that I'm a big Three's Company fan, and they are too, they always ask me Ropers or Furley. So I'll ask you the same question.
Furley.
Yeah, same here. I'm a Furley guy.
It just, the comedy went to a whole other level.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't think I've ever been really fond of, I was too young to understand the jokes about sex and him not wanting to have sex with his wife. And as a grown woman, it's even less enjoyable.
Yeah, no, I get, yeah, exactly. I agree with you on both points. I didn't understand why either.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And it was one joke. And it lasted for, you know, the three seasons they were there. It was kind of a little, it was too much, you know?
Yeah, but maybe at the time, I don't know. I don't know if it worked at the time. They were both good actors.
Yeah.
I think it was just the material. But didn't they have a...
They did. They had a spinoff called The Ropers.
Okay.
Well, so you liked this episode, and I was going to tell you that it's not my favorite episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. I think the reason why I'm saying I like it is because it was interesting to watch the fighting between Terry and Janet, the things that Jack said, why they fought, how many misunderstandings happened so that they were arguing.
Oh, my God. This whole episode would have been avoided if Janet had just asked Brad out straight up. Right?
Or immediately told Terry why she was there. But that's the thing, is she thinks that the whole premise is based on everyone assuming that they understand what the other person is saying.
Right. And it also goes to show you, like, back in the day, women were almost not allowed, socially not disallowed, to ask a man out on a date.
Well, the biggest line of the show, I think, is when Larry says the man makes the choice, not the woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Now, he's being a bit of a deliberate chauvinist to provoke and be funny.
Right, right.
But,
and then he also says all the live ones are going to be taken. That's such a Larry thing.
I mean, it is so funny, though. But at the same time, it's reflective, I think, of the time, right? Like, you just don't ask a guy out.
But it really is. And the funny thing is, you know, both Terry and Janet are always reminding the audience that these kinds of ways of thinking are archaic. And they're always fighting for those type of rights in the show.
Yeah, a little bit, a little contradictory, yeah.
And then Janet goes for it because she thinks that, you know, she's been given good advice, but without the person knowing what the actual situation is.
Yeah.
What I will tell you is I think it's interesting is, so when I say I've been put in both situations, I was in Janet's where I had to ask a guy out and I didn't enjoy it at all. I didn't enjoy,
really?
Didn't enjoy it one bit. And I tried it and I didn't just try it once. But it didn't work for me.
Interesting. Okay.
It didn't work for me. And it's not that I didn't do it properly or that I was scared to. Just the person in question took it and spun it a whole other way, as though his, you know, it was made. The bed was already made. I was already there. Do you know what I mean by that?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not talking anything sexual. I won't like give innuendos on your show like that. I mean, in terms of, it just didn't work out. It was, I don't even know how to explain this, but it wasn't as simple as asking someone out, suggesting we go somewhere, and it's that simple. There were a lot of head games after that, and I didn't try it again after, not since.
Oh, because I thought when you said you've been in Janet's shoes before, it's you were the one who had to watch your friend go out with someone you liked.
I don't know if I've had to do that. I don't tend to like the same guys that my friends like.
And then have you been in Terry's situation?
Yes.
Where a guy liked you and you knew your friend liked him?
Yes. Which was very complicated.
Right.
Do you want to hear about it in the short film?
Sure, if you can relate it to the episode.
to the episode, it was, what's interesting is Janet told Terry that she was okay with it, right? Did she tell Janet, or she never told Terry she was okay with it?
She did say that's okay, you know.
But she said, "I'm thrilled," right? And that's when Jack asked her to count the teeth. Of when she says thrilled, how many of her teeth are showing?
Okay, I cannot remember that instance right now.
Okay,
but
so wait. Now I'm trying to remember too. Give me a second here, because I did watch it, but it was a week ago. let me think about this. So I think Terry has no clue that Janet is interested in Bob.
No. Not the first time. But then she says, "Oh, thanks a lot." And she wants to go out with him, even though now she knows Janet likes her after the first date.
So Terry did know that Janet wanted to ask him out. She did know, and she continued to. I thought she dropped it immediately when she found out her friend.
She was gonna drop it, but then Janet was like, "Oh no, it's okay." And then she's like, "Great." And then she just said,
"Okay."
It was so like that.
I can sort of say I was in that type of situation. The short way was this: is that a friend of mine liked a dude in high school, and I went to a girl's school, and this guy went to the guy's school, and she really liked him, but we had met, and I didn't think anything of it. But then the two of them together came up to me and said, "We need to talk to you about something." And they both spoke to me about the fact that he wanted to ask me to prom, and she was okay with it.
And you're like, "Yeah, okay."
It was one of the strangest situations, because I was basically being asked to go to prom by two people.
Wow.
One was the guy, and she was saying she was okay with it, and he wanted to ask me in front of her to prove that she was okay with it.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't count her teeth, but we ended up being cool, because the guy ended up being not very cool.
Uh-huh.
So
That's not a cool thing to do, to drag her while he asks you out for prom.
It was both their choice. I honestly, to this day, I'm confused as to why they did it that way.
So awkward.
Yeah. And then basically I didn't even really have the option of saying, "Well, I don't want to go."
Right.
Because they're both saying you should go.
My God.
So, in Terry's case, it ended up being the same thing, where when you know that you're hurting your friend's feelings, it ain't worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and my overview of the whole thing is Jack turned the tables in a really smart way. He basically pulled a bit of a reverse psychology.
Yeah. He started laughing.
Like saying, "Oh, you guys are joking. You wouldn't ruin a friendship for this."
Yeah.
Which was kind of awesome. I do think it was a good topic to broach, believe it or not, because people are put in those situations.
Right. Yeah. Fighting over a guy.
How do you handle it? Yeah. Fighting over a guy. And I think it was resolved in a half hour, nicely and neatly. Well, it was probably 23 minutes. It was resolved nicely and neatly, but with an actual solution.
Yeah.
With an actual proper solution of, "Hey, are you guys going to ruin your friendship over this? Does it matter?"
And also, Bob ran off with Donna at the end.
Yeah.
So, what does it matter? Okay. Ladies, what does it matter? That guy's a douche. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then his girl leaves, and then he's really angry too.
Yeah. That's great, because Jack's been on an even keel for the whole episode. He's been the calm one, the
voice of reason.
Voice
of reason on this one, right? In the dating scenario.
Yeah, I love how those tables turn at the end. Like, Joyce never devolved her character into like a dumb roommate, and in this episode, or in a couple other ones. But that's why I love Janet so much, is because she was able to hold her own. She was always the conscience of the show, the voice of reason. She'd mm-hmm. always tell Jack what he did wrong. And yet she was able to do physical comedy. She was able to, you know, be devious with Jack. She was great. She's mm-hmm. such a utility player that she's so overlooked on the show. And rewatching these episodes, I also think she's a bombshell, and so maybe that's my bias, but it's also, you know, rewatching it, I'm like, wow, she's really holding her own against, you know, the genius of John Ritter, you know.
She is, and I think maybe when you've said that she's underappreciated.
Yeah. Basically.
I think that might be because she played her character so well, because Janet is the neutral one.
You're right.
You know, she's the one that you can count on.
Yeah.
Right? She plays that character really well.
She started off as like really the serious one, and Chrissy was the, you know, the blonde bombshell, and Jack was the funny new guy. And as the series went on, she got almost as good as John Ritter, who is considered one of the best that ever lived. So that makes Joyce DeWitt yeah. one of the best comedic actresses that ever lived as well.
And she did it in heels.
Yeah. 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 And you know, really tight fitting jeans. And it's
yes,
great.
I love
and,
those
yeah.
I love
those, yeah. They're great jeans. and Terry, I should really give the episode slack, because it is Terry's, you know, first few episodes. So, mm-hmm. But that's the reason why I didn't really like the episode too much.
And I don't know if I've ever fought with one of my friends like that. There's some words exchanged. I was in a position of, there was someone I had a crush on. I was in a position of a friend of mine coming out with me one night, and the person I had a crush on, she kind of said, wow, he's really hot. Like, if you don't make a move, I'm going to. And so it was a bit of that. And I said, no, you're not going to make a move. I'm going to take my time. That was how it worked out.
So you are Terry in that situation, or Janet?
I'm Janet and Jack.
Right. Now, did she hold a grudge like Janet did?
Like Terry did? No, because I was the one that liked the person. She also liked the person, but I liked the person first.
You made it known that you were first.
Yes.
Ah, man. Think about...
Which is, you know what, the thing about that is, that's why I'm saying I think this kind of topic is interesting, because it can't be the only time that where two people might have an inkling for somebody, right?
So, you know,
and there is no such a thing as order. I will tell you, the thing is, there is no order. Someone likes someone first, then the other person. I don't think there's such a thing as that. I think, you know, how do we even discuss this? But I think it's a matter of two people having a conversation. But with that friend, it wasn't that she was so in love with the person. She just thought
right.
he was hot.
Right,
that's it.
Right, right.
And
right.
That breaks it down to, okay, what's really important here? I've known this person for a little longer. I'm into, you know, and if you're okay with just hold off, let me see how I feel about it, and then you can move in.
Right.
Cool, right? Man. What's your response?
Oh, it sounds like a war out there. I mean, and it can be decided in seconds, you know, just like whether you go to him first or she goes to him. It's very interesting. And listen, maybe I need to reevaluate this episode again, hearing it through you and figuring out that it's more commonplace than I'm giving it credit for.
I do think it's fairly commonplace. I do think it's fairly commonplace that people can be attracted to the same person. And what do you do about it? But in all the situations that I've just told you, it ended up not being very important.
Right.
Because it really is just based on attraction, and it really is always based on the most important relationship and friendship that exists, right? I think it's the biggest point is no one has dibs on anybody. You know, you just have to work it out and say, hey, this matters to me or this doesn't. How much does this matter, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong here?
No, I think you're absolutely right.
Now I'm confused if the kisses are hers or hers or his. Now I'm totally confused.
Oh, I've always been confused.
Yeah, these situations, they come up, right? And yeah. I just think that Jack's overall response was the best response.
The only point I had was Bob the bartender, played by Brad Mall, was the third bartender at the Regal Beagle that we met. That was it. There was Jim the bartender, played by Paul Ainsley, who was on for 11 episodes, and Mike the bartender, played by Brad Blaisdell for 10 episodes. And then this guy, Bob the bartender, for one episode.
Oh, see, it's so funny that you say that because he's the one we're remembering because they've actually included the bartender in the issue.
Yeah, he's actually in the episode. He goes to the apartment, whereas Jim and Mike never went to the apartment on the show.
They stayed at the Regal Beagle.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you, like, there's an aspect of this episode that is so dated. Even the object of their affection, his name is Bob.
I know. It's kind of, they could have come up with
You've changed Bob's name to Brad twice, so you also don't like the name.
I know. Well, the actor's real name is Brad, so we got Brad, we got Bob, we got...
Oh, that's why you said Brad, okay.
Yeah. So they're very simple names, pretty common names.
Yeah, if the object of their affection in that era should have been maybe a lance.
Yeah, or Robert, for God's sakes.
Right, exactly. And even when Terry has to say it, I didn't know how she even said it so eloquently. She said, "I went out with Bob."
I know. It's crazy.
Well played, Terry. Well played.